This is John Walden, Colorado Springs. I'd like you to read with me today in Revelation chapter 16. We've already noticed in studying chapter 15 that the wrath of God is filled up or completed in the pouring out of these seven last plagues. These take place at the close of the Great Tribulation. We say also that these come from God Himself. From the very throne of God, these judgments come. And so our chapter begins, I heard a great voice out of the temple saying to the seven angels, go your ways and pour out the vials of the wrath of God upon the earth. Now God's judgments are righteous. He gave His Son to be our Savior. Eternal life is offered to whosoever will. Those who reject Him, those who rebel against Him, ultimately will have to feel the awfulness of divine wrath. There are seven of these. Let's look at them hurriedly. The first went and poured out his vial upon the earth. And there fell a noisome, or a stinking, and grievous sore upon the men which had the mark of the beast, and upon them which worshipped his image. Now, these correspond very closely to the seven trumpets, which we have already noticed. The first trumpet had to do with the earth, so does the first vial have to do with the earth. The second trumpet had to do with the sea, so does the second vial have to do with the sea. Now, I can't tell you whether these things are literal or spiritual, but I do know this, that whenever God uses a figure, the thing for which it stands must be fully as terrible as the figure He uses, and perhaps more so. And when God tells us that these things are going to happen, I tell you, my friends, I'm glad I won't be there to see them. The plagues of Egypt, severe as they were, ending with the death of the firstborn in Exodus 12, were nothing compared to this. There were boils of smoked men. Here, a stinking and grievous sore. Someone, a scientist, remarked the other day that reading the 16th chapter of the Revelation is almost like reading a news report after a terrible devastation by a hydrogen bomb. Well, I don't know how God is going to accomplish these things, but I know that He's quite capable of doing them, and I know that these awful things are going to happen. The second angel poured out his vial upon the sea, and it became as the blood of a dead man, and every living soul died in the sea. The Lord is going to send judgment upon all the peoples, and the sea, over and over in prophetic scripture, stands for the nations of the people. The third angel poured out his vial upon the rivers and fountains of waters, and they became blood. So you see, He not only touches the people, but He touches the very source of their life. The very source of life is destroyed. Well, you say, this is going too far. Ah, but I heard an angel of the waters say, Thou art righteous, O Lord, which art and wast and shall be, because Thou hast judged us. For they have shed the blood of saints and prophets, and Thou hast given them blood to drink, for they are worthy. And I heard another out of the altar say, Even so, Lord God Almighty, true and righteous are Thy judgments. God does not judge simply because He is Almighty. He judges also because He is true and righteous. Though the righteousness of God in sending death upon those who reject life is vindicated. The fourth angel, in verse 8, poured out his vial upon the sun, and power was given upon him to scorch men with fire. And men were scorched with great heat and blasphemed the name of God which hath power over these plagues, and they repented not to give Him glory. Now when plagues touch the sun, they're touching the source of blessing and goodness and kindness. We receive our heat and our light and our food and all that we enjoy on this planet as a result of the sun. Indirectly, of course, this is a gift of God, because God created the sun to rule the day and the moon to rule the night. As God withdraws some of the people's blessings, mercies, they blaspheme him. There's no repentance. There's no acknowledging of their wrong. If the goodness of God will not lead men to repentance, as he says in Romans 2, neither will the judgments of God. Now the fifth angel poured out his vial upon the seat or the throne of the beast. The judgment begins to fall on this great world leader who is in rebellion against God. And his kingdom was full of darkness, and they gnawed their tongues for pain. Now while you'll see a parallel between this and conditions in Egypt under the judgments there, you'll see how much more intense all of these are. Why this terrible pain over darkness? Well, it must be that the darkness is more than just a physical darkness. And what is there so terrible as the darkness of soul that descends upon a person who rejects Christ? Notice that they too blaspheme the God of heaven because of their pains and their sores, and repented not of their deeds. And the sixth angel poured out his vial upon the great river Euphrates. Now the Euphrates, we noticed before, is the dividing point between the east and the west. The waters thereof is dried up, and the way of the kings of the east might be prepared. And so the Asiatic hordes are turned loose in this coming day. Now statesmen in the world today fear the awakening of the Asian. They fear what might happen to the Occidental if the Oriental once turns loose. But see that this is demon-inspired also. I saw three unclean spirits like frogs come out of the mouth of the dragon, out of the mouth of the beast, and out of the mouth of the false prophet. For they are the spirits of demons working miracles, which go forth unto the kings of the earth and to the whole world to gather them to the battle of the great day of God Almighty. Skipping the parenthesis in verse 15 for a moment, it says, he gathered them together into a place called in the Hebrew tongue, Armageddon. Now, Armageddon means the mountains of Megiddo, and this simply is the promontory overlooking the Vale of Esdraelon. The Valley of Esdraelon is located just northwest of Jerusalem. There can be no battle of Armageddon anywhere else except in Palestine. The battle of Armageddon will take place at the close of the Great Tribulation. It has not happened yet, and it cannot happen in any kind of war except at the close of the Great Tribulation. And God is going to see that it happens. He will gather them there, and he will see that the great day of God Almighty takes place at the battle of Armageddon. That means simply that God is going to have a showdown in the coming day with these who have defied the Lord Jesus Christ, because he is certainly going to put his son on the throne in this coming day. Then we're told in verse 17, the seventh angel poured out his vial into the air. And there came a great voice out of the temple of God and the throne saying, it is done. When our Savior died on the cross, he said, it is finished. When God gets through judging this world, he will say, it is done. And which one will you accept? Will you accept the finished work of Christ on your behalf? Or will you have to accept the finished judgment of God? There were voices and thunders and lightnings, and there was a great earthquake, such as was not since then, since men were upon the earth, so mighty an earthquake and so great. And the great city was divided into three parts, and the cities of the nations fell, and great Babylon came in remembrance before God, to give unto her the cup of the wine of the fierceness of his wrath. And every island fled away, and the mountains were not found. And there fell upon men a great hail out of heaven, every stone about the weight of a talent, that's 110 pounds. And men blasphemed God because of the plague of the hail, for the plague thereof was exceeding great. And so there is the final, complete, total wreckage of civilization. Notice that it comes from above, as hail falls down from the sky. God himself is going to destroy our present wicked civilization. Well, my friends, there's going to be a greater civilization. The Lord Jesus is going to set up his kingdom, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. A king shall reign in righteousness when once God has replaced the civilization of man with his own. Now we notice in verse 15 that there was a parenthesis, "Behold, I come as a thief. Blessed is he that watcheth and keepeth his garments, lest he walk naked and they see his shame." We had a parenthesis between the sixth and the seventh seals, between the sixth and the seventh trumpets, and now we have one between the sixth and the seventh vials. These parentheses in each case were given in order to strengthen and to speak a word to God's people before he completes his judgment. And so God calls to his waiting people Israel and says, "Keep watching and keep your garments. Stand fast for me. I'm coming." Well, he says this to us too, who are Christians. And you and I as believers are exhorted to be careful, to watch, to wait. We're expecting the Lord Jesus to come for us. Let's have nothing to do with the Satan-inspired system of the world. Let's have nothing to do with its plans and its program, which leaves the Lord Jesus out. But let's look and watch and wait for the Savior to come. And if you haven't trusted him as your Savior, do so right away. Accept him because he loves you and he died for you. He wants you to enjoy his finished work and never have to face the completed work of judgment. Father, we thank thee for thy Son and for all he did for us. We thank thee for that wonderful day when he shall be King of kings and Lord of lords. We ask for thy blessing on thy dear people, and we pray again for the salvation of the lost in his name. Amen.